Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 3, entitled Krishna is the source of all incarnations, text 38. Sabe dadatu padavim parasya. Duranta viyasya ratangapane. Yo maya santata yana vritya. Bhajita tatpada saroja gandam. Savida datu padavim parasya. Duranta viryasya ratanga pane. Yo maya santata yana vritya. Bhajita tatpada saroja gandam. Savida datu padavim parasya. Duranta viryasya ratanga pane. Yo maya santata yana vritya. Bhajita tatpada saroja gandam. Saha. He alone. Veda. Can know. Dhatu. Of the Creator. Padavim. Glories. Parasya. Of the Transcendence. Duranta Viryasya. Of the Greatly Powerful. Rata Angapane. Of Lord Krishna. Who bears in his hand the wheel of a chariot. Yaha, one who, Amayaya, without reservation, Santataya, without any gap, Anuvritya, favorably, Bhajita, render service, Tatpada, of his feet. Saroja Gandam, fragrance of the lotus. Translation. Only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand, can know the Creator of the universe in his full glory, power, and transcendence. Purport. Only the pure devotee can know the transcendental name, form, and activities of Lord Krishna due to their being completely freed from the reactions of fruitive work and mental speculation. The pure devotees have nothing to derive as personal benefit from their unalloyed service to the Lord. They render incessant service to the Lord spontaneously without any reservation. Everyone within the creation of the Lord is rendering service to the Lord, indirectly or directly. No one is an exception to this law of the Lord. Those who are rendering service indirectly, being forced by the illusory agent of the Lord, are rendering service unto him unfavorably. But those who are rendering service unto him directly, under the direction of his beloved agent, are rendering service unto him favorably. Such favorable servitors are devotees of the Lord. And by the grace of the Lord, they can enter into the mysterious region of transcendence by the mercy of the Lord. But the mental speculators remain in darkness all the time. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself guides the pure devotees towards the path of self-realization. due to their constant engagement in the loving service of the Lord and spontaneous affection. That is the secret of entering into the kingdom of God. Fruitive activities and speculation are no qualification for entering. Mama Vartmana Vartante, every living being, is in all respects going the path of the Supreme Lord. Because everything, Maya Jakshena Prakite Suyate Sachara Charam, everything is arrangement of the Supreme Lord. Parashya Shakti Vividaiva Shruyate, the endless energies of the Lord are spread everywhere. Whether it is the Antaranga Shakti, the Tatastha Shakti, or the Bahiranga Shakti, whether it is the internal energy of the Lord, the spiritual energy, whether it is the marginal energy, the living beings, or the external energy, the material energy, all is the energy of the Supreme Lord. Those living beings who are relating to the material energy, they become covered by that material energy. Avritam jnanami tena. Their knowledge becomes avrita, it becomes covered. Krishna withdraws himself. Naham pakasa sarvasa yogamaya samavritaha. Krishna withdraws himself from the vision of the devotees. And in this way, Krishna is only visible to his devotees. Mukti da dati bhakti na karichit. Liberation I give you very easily, Krishna says. But devotional service, I'm hiding from you. I'm hiding. Because by that devotional service, Krishna becomes purchased. So, Krishna himself becomes captured. Devotional service, pure devotional service, is described to be Sri Krishna Akarsani, that which can attract Krishna. Therefore, spiritual advancement is always depending on mercy. Spiritual advancement basically means that we become attracted to render service to Krishna. And in reciprocation, Krishna will reveal himself to his devotees. And that's entirely up unto Krishna. Although it is said, yeyatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajami aham, as you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. It is not a mechanical process where it can be measured. So much service will give so much result. It is not like that. It is entirely depending on Krishna, whenever he wants to give the mercy. And the devotees just remain dependent on Krishna. Engaging in his service. Aslishyava padaratam pinastamam adarsanam mamatam karutuva. Whether you are present before me or handle me roughly with your embrace, whatever you may do, it is you are my Lord, my worshipable Lord, unconditionally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states in Sikshastaka. So it is up to Krishna. It is up to Krishna how much he wants to reveal himself and when he wants to reveal himself. In Bhagavatam, we read the narration of Narada Muni. And how Narada Muni, as the son of the maidservant, somehow or other, served these Bhakti Vedantas as they stayed in the residence where he and his mother also stayed during the rainy season. And it is said during that time he got the remnants of these Bhakti Vedantas, which was a great powerful blessing. And he got transcendental instruction from them of how to practice spiritual life. And then Narada was left alone with his mother, but his mother somehow or other died by snake bite when he was 5 years old. The boy went into the forest and practiced the devotional service according to the directions of the Bhakti Vedantas. And the result was that he got a darshan of the Supreme Lord. He actually saw the Supreme Lord appear before him, but the Lord disappeared. So he was 5 years old, and as a result, he became very disturbed and had a very emotional reaction and became angry. So then the Lord, after some time, returned again to tell him only one thing, that this life you will not see me anymore. But if you faithfully continue your devotional service, then in the next life. And of course, at the end of that life, after having faithfully served the Lord, Narada received a transcendental body, a spiritual body, and then became a permanent associate of the Supreme Lord. Because although Narada Muni may be traveling within the material universe, still Narada Muni is always with the Supreme Lord. Having a spiritual body, Narada is a resident of the spiritual world. Narada's relationship with the Lord is always present. Always. The Lord is always close to him. Narada chants the name Radhika Raman. Now that Radhastami is approaching, one big topic in the whole Radhastami experience or event is the mood of separation, of how Akrura came and took Krishna and Balaram to Vrindavan, to away from Vrindavan to Mathura, and how then it all began. There began that separation, and it's a mystery, that separation. I mean, because in the Krishna book, in the chapter where it says Uddhava visits Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada explains, he says that actually when Nanda Maharaj went back from Mathura, it's not that Krishna and Balaram stayed behind. He said Krishna and Balaram went with Nanda Maharaj. They went back to Vrindavan. But Vasudev and Sankarsan, they remained behind in Mathura. The expansions of Krishna, not Krishna himself. So Krishna remained in Vrindavan, but yet he was not visible somehow or other. He covered himself and remained invisible, but he was present. So in this way, Krishna is always present. He is always present anywhere. The devotee is never separated from Krishna for a moment. And yet, the devotee is feeling that separation. So this is a mystery, how Krishna is ever present, he's everywhere, he's all pervading. And yet, the devotees are experiencing separation. The devotees are different than the yogis. When Gopakumar was traveling throughout the universe and gradually through Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, up to Golok. When Gopakumar was on his journey back to Godhead, it is said on the way, Gopakumar came to Tapaloka. It said, and in Tapaloka, the residents were performing austerities, and their main process of focusing on the Supreme Lord was through meditation. Because the residents in Tapaloka were basically saying it is through the mind that we connect with the Lord. It's all happening in the mind. One may have a desire to see the Lord, but he said seeing, they said, actually happens in the mind. The eyes send a signal to the mind, and there it's registered, and one sees actually in the mind. So the residents explained. He said, therefore, the essence is meditation. It's meditation. So there's no need in seeing. Gopakumar wanted to see. He wanted to see the Lord. He said, Gopakumar, don't worry. Just meditate. Meditate on the Lord and you'll always be with the Lord. So as long as you meditate on the Lord, then you'll always be in the association of the Lord. Gopakumar was not satisfied with that. Gopakumar wanted to see the Lord with his eyes. And he rejected. Gopakumar rejected this process of the residence of Tapaloka. And we can understand it, because when we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam and we see that when Narada Muni actually had the darshan of the Lord, it is described that upon seeing the Lord that all his senses became awakened simultaneously. And it was the eyes, the ears, the sense of smell, all the senses simultaneously were totally awakened and were competing with each other. Competing with each other for prominence. It's like when we are listening to a beautiful kirtan, we close our eyes and we are all ear. Listening to that very sweet, beautiful sound. Everything else closed down. Ooh. Take our glasses off. And we don't see. We just hear. But in the case of Narada seeing Krishna, it was not like that. It was not like that at all. It was not that one of the senses shut down. No, all of the senses awoke completely and they started to compete with each other. In the same way, therefore, Gopakumar, just meditating on the Lord, no, not satisfactory, no, we want more, no, we also want to see the Lord, we also want to smell, we want to hear the ankle bells, we want all this, the full experience of the Lord. So, it is a matter of eagerness. It is the eagerness that is really the key to understanding this separation. It means that the devotee develops such a deep, deep, intense attachment to Krishna. It's not casual. It's not, yes, I read about Krishna. Yes. I had darshan. Yes. I met Prabhu also. Yes, like this. One may casually speak. No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came before Lord Jagannath and he saw Krishna, the Supreme Lord, the Lord of his heart. He wanted to embrace him. He wanted to jump on the altar. It wasn't just Govinda Adipurusha. Oh, they're late. No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lost all sense of time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lost all sense of the material world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Lord of his heart. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore, with great eagerness, wanted to jump on the altar and embrace the Lord. But the emotions became so intense that as he was sort of about to jump, he fainted. He fainted and was unconscious. So, it is the intensity, the eagerness to serve Krishna, to be with Krishna, to hear about Krishna, to associate with Krishna, to constantly have that connection with Krishna, which creates the sense of separation. It is there. Otherwise, Krishna is always present. Well, there's a question that Krishna is not present. It is a fact. Krishna is here right now. How can we say Krishna is far away in Golok and we are in the material world? How can we say? We fell from Golok. Sometimes the argument is raised, how can the jiva fall from Golok? And one answer is yes. Yes is always a good answer. Yes, the jiva never fell from Golok. No. We are still there. We are there right now. It is just that we forgot. We are there in the spiritual world and we forgot. Tibet. Huh? Where are we? In the spiritual world. And the eyes become uncovered by the process of devotional service. Krishna lifts the shell. Sravanadi sudachitta karya udai. It is by hearing and chanting that this Krishna consciousness naturally awakens. As Srila Prabhupada said in his translation to the Mahamantra, this chanting is not an artificial imposition on the mind. So, like that. But it's not just that, yes, we remember Krishna. Yes, yes. I remember Krishna all the time. Yes. I never forget Krishna. I always think of Krishna. No, no, no. With great eagerness, with overwhelming eagerness, that is the essence. One who is remembering Krishna all the time becomes captured by Krishna. Krishna is slowly capturing us. It is said, Jayati janani vaso devaki janmavada. It is said that Jayati janani vaso, janani vaso, or janani vas is speaking about Krishna, who is the resort, the shelter of all living beings. And Jayati means he conquers or victory. So it is described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the commentary on that verse that the word Jayati is in the present tense, and that it means that Krishna is victorious. It's not like he will be victorious. We hope that Krishna will conquer our heart. No, no, he is conquering right now. He is conquering. So basically what the verse means is Krishna is penetrating into our consciousness, even although we are conditioned souls, and even although we are reluctant. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much tilak we put, how big the neck beats are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether we live in a temple. It doesn't matter. We take only Krishna Prasad, only. We are brahmacharya for 99 years. Yes, 99 years brahmacharya. It doesn't matter. Still, we don't want to surrender. We don't. There is a portion in us that doesn't want to surrender. And it is resisting. There is reluctance within us. Yes. And no matter how devotional we fold our hands, still, no, we don't want to. We don't want to. No. We want to keep independence. We want to enjoy. That tendency is very strong. So, but it doesn't matter, because by associating with Krishna, Krishna is victorious. It's not from will he be victorious? Oh, when will Krishna conquer my heart? It hasn't happened yet, but I hope that one day, it will come. Oh, when will that day come? No, Krishna is victorious, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said. He's victorious now. So whenever we are associating with Krishna, he's penetrating. There is no false ego. Although the false ego is like a wall, a high wall, which is so thick that the Chinese wall looks like nothing. Nothing. Such a wall. Such a big wall. And nothing seems to be able to go through that wall of false ego. Except Krishna. For Krishna, it is nothing. Nothing. He penetrates. He penetrates within our hearts, within our consciousness. So it is just a matter of continuing devotional service, continuing association with Krishna, continuing to hear about Krishna, continuing chanting about Krishna. And it always acts. It's not a matter of will it act, will it not act. But what about offenses? Even offenses get purified. Even although offenses can slow down the progress, there is a philosophical question which comes up from time to time. There is On the one hand, the description in the Bhagavad Gita 2:40, Neha Bikramo Nasasti Pratyavayana Vidyate Svalpamabhyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatubhayat. The verse which describes that there is no loss or diminution in the progress that we make, it's the spiritual bank balance verse. It goes, all our spiritual benefits, they accrue in our eternal bank balance. And more, all the service we do, it just goes there. So, but then, what about met elephant offense? You make a big offense, offend the Vaishnava in a big way. Then you uproot your devotional creeper, it says. So what does that mean? Does it mean that all that balance that was in your bank account is finished now through the offense? Can we destroy the spiritual bank balance? No, that's not what it means. Actually, what happens is your bank account gets frozen. It gets frozen. The money is still there, but temporarily they don't allow you to access it. So you have so many crores, but meanwhile you have to beg for 1 rupee, ek taka, pavana, garib manus. You will be very poor man, because although you have crores, it is frozen. But in due course of time, it gets unfrozen again, just like some big marawari in Calcutta. He doesn't pay the income tax and government is freezing all his bank accounts. It happens all the time. Very common thing. Even in South Africa, these things are also happening. So, the spiritual bank account gets frozen. What is my evidence? Think of Aswatthama. Aswatthama is made such an offense, got the head of a goat for a kalpa, but then after going through all that, then at the end, Aswatthama is reinstated, and Aswatthama is becoming, in the new Satya Yuga, one of the leading personalities to actually establish the principles of Dharma. So see, from being an offender, a great offender, he gets an exalted position. So the result of an offense may last for a kalpa, which is quite amount of time, if you think about it. It may last for a kalpa, but eventually, what is a kalpa on eternity? What's a kalpa on eternity? In comparison to eternity, a kalpa is nothing. So the point is, after one kalpa, Aswatthama can again access the spiritual bank balance. And we just learned from Shiv Ramaraj in his book about Vraj that in Kamyavan there is a kund where Aswatthama is now chanting Hare Krishna. So it is stated. One Baba is there. And you can meet him. Sachinanda Maharaj is ready. He told me. So, let's go. So, yes, let us discover Krishna's mercy. Let us explore Krishna's mercy. If we want to be Krishna conscious, then we have to search out the mercy of the Lord. It's not just that we are getting into a routine. There is Nitya Kriya and Naimitika Kriya. Or there is the regular activity in devotional service, and there are extraordinary activities in devotional service. So eagerness must show in extraordinary activities, and in maintaining the everyday practice. That's also extraordinary. So these two things. So we must show some eagerness to get some special mercy. Then we will get. We must be ready to try and
At least sometimes chant extra rounds. At least sometimes go on some serious reading program and set ourselves some quota. You cannot just leave it up to chance. They say, well, see if I find some time to read today. Then you will never read. If you say, no, today I'm going to read one chapter of Bhagavatam, then you'll do it. So that spirit is required. A spirit of pure devotional service is unlimited. It's unlimited. One is always purified. Always more and more purified. This is not only happening in the material world, that here in the material world we're engaging in devotional service and we're being purified, and then we are pure, and then we go to the spiritual world, and then we're pure forever. And it's now just a matter of becoming purified. No, it's not like that. It is going on in the spiritual world as well. The evidence for that is found in Adi Lila chapter 4, where it is says that Srimati Radharani, her love for Krishna is eternally increasing. She is always discovering a new quality of Krishna, and her love embraces that quality. So her love is growing eternally. And not only her love, the love of every devotee is growing eternally. That's what it means to be purified. Purified means Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunaya Shravanadi Sudha Chitya Karaya Udaya, to become lovers of Krishna. Little by little. Love him a little. Love him a little more. Krishna is very nice. So pure devotion is measured by that. Pure devotion is not measured by austerity. Pure devotion is not measured by learning. Pure devotion is not measured even by how many rounds one chants. Pure devotion is not measured by he who distributes the most books or does the most service. Pure devotion is measured by only one thing, by love for Krishna. It is that, and by nothing else. It cannot be measured by anything else. So, we cannot force that love. In Christianity, they say, love your neighbor. But I don't love my neighbor. I don't. I don't love him. He makes noise. He's disturbing me, actually, my neighbor. I don't love him at all. No, you love your neighbor? I don't. So love your neighbor. Then artificially I can act as if I love my neighbor. But that's not love. That's drama. That's drama. I love you so much. But I don't love my neighbor. This problem is there. So in the same way, we cannot, by declaration, say, love Krishna. Love for Krishna must awaken in the heart. But in order to awaken it, yes, we must, with eagerness, cultivate it by always engaging in devotional service. As simple as that. And by taking, wherever there's mercy, take advantage of it. When Akrura came to Vrindavan, he saw Krishna's footprints. He didn't hesitate. He just fell in the dust of his golden chariot. I mean, you know, like comparative to a golden Mercedes. So he was like, as a wealthy person, and wealthy comes with a golden Mercedes. But he jumped out of the car and rolled in the dust. So he wasn't thinking, I'm too important for that. So that only when we are ready to be very humble will we be sensitive to the mercy. If we are proud, if there's a little bit of pride, that pride will make us self-conscious. Then we'll think about ourselves, and as a result, we'll miss an opportunity to see the mercy of Krishna. The more we think, a little proud about anything, you know, a lot learning about anything we can do, immediately we start thinking about ourselves. I'm so qualified. And immediately we forget Krishna. We miss an opportunity for the mercy. So, in the cultivation, therefore, cultivation of humility is so much in the forefront. Because then we can take, then we can recognize the mercy and take shelter of it. Then Krishna can be attracted very quickly, like he said to Rupa and Sanatan. When the brothers came before him in Ramkeli, and the first time they met Mahaprabhu, they basically said that, you know, we are more fallen than Jagai and Madai, because Jagai and Madai, they have murdered, they have plundered, they have done so many things. But we have protected millions of Jagais and Madais, because as ministers we have protected them. Therefore we are a million times more sinful than Jagai and Madai. We are the most fallen. Therefore our claim to your mercy is first, as you are Patita Pavan. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded and said, please, please stop this humility. I cannot bear it. So it is humility that purchases Krishna. So difficult. That's almost impossible, to be humble. But that is the key for humble devotional service, is the key to getting the direct mercy of Krishna. Okay, any questions, any comments?
Do you know working life, as you were explaining, the overwhelming experience of associating with Krishna in different ways? So in a working life, sometimes like, you know, for 3 hours, you're busy with meetings, and then after that, you remember the whole.
Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was in a working life, and every day he had to sit in the court as a magistrate. And I don't know if you've been to the court, and everybody is lying. The whole day. Everybody. You know, everybody is lying. The lawyers, they are expert. The criminals, they lie. The civil cases, everyone is lying. And the judge, he's heard all these lies 1,000 times before. And he knows very well that they're lying. He knows it exactly when they're lying, how they're lying. Yeah. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur every day had to sit there and listen to this as a magistrate. It's a very contaminating atmosphere, right? Where is the purity? A very greedy, contaminated atmosphere, you know. So in the course of his daily activities, so many things, so much contamination he had to witness. You know, there was a time when I had to buy land in India, and, you know, a lot has to be paid in sham money, you know. I did that activity. And there was this family, and they wanted to count every note. And there's a lot of notes, you know. And then it came in suitcases, and they were in a room, and they were sitting there in the middle of all the money, counting, in case there was 100 rupees short, you know. And they count everything. So there's so much greed. Yeah. So we're all confronted with greed. We're all confronted with lying, with cheating, you know, confronted with lust. Right. Sometimes, as a preacher, some lady comes and she's very interested, but not completely covered. And, you know, as we're telling Krishna, we look right at everything on display. And so Maya is everywhere, not only in the work atmosphere. Maya is everywhere, and Krishna is everywhere. So, Prabhupada said that there was a young boy who wanted to get married to this particular girl, and he wanted to impress her by buying a very expensive ring. So he was ready to spend a whole week's salary on this ring. So then the whole week he worked, but he was always thinking of buying that ring. And as a result, all his work, his meditation was just that ring. So if you work and you offer the result to Krishna, then the whole week you think of Krishna in ecstasy at work. Svarga, Pavarga, Narakesu, Apitulya, Tadarsina. Whether in heaven or in hell, you know, maybe hell applies. I agree, it can be pretty hellish in some cases. Whether in heaven or hell, apitulya tadarshina, balanced state of mind. So we cannot blame work. It's work's fault that I'm not Krishna consciousness, that I'm not Krishna. It's work's fault. It's wife's fault. It's the people's fault. It's the bird's fault. They make so much noise in the morning. Cannot chant. It's everybody's fault, but not my fault, that I'm not Krishna conscious. So no. It's only our fault. Nobody else's. So offer everything. Offer the work to Krishna. Use every cent that comes from that work in Krishna consciousness. Give to the temple, give to the Vaishnavas, keep something at home. Right? Invite guests, worship the Lord, no sinful thing, no Maya in the house. Then every cent is spent for Krishna. Then your work becomes very Krishna conscious. Alternative option is to just stop working and rely on Krishna and preach. See, there is this idea that Krihastas need to work to survive. I don't know where they got this idea. It's like they think that they need to go to university for years and study so they can get a better job. So they think they have to work. But actually the truth is, it's not required. You just, you know, like rent a house somewhere if you have no money, rent a house. Right? Put a sign outside, you know, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Take permission from ISKCON authorities. Stamped and approved, triplicate, whatever application systems they have. And then you just start preaching. What's the problem? You can live from preaching. You start having programs in your house, invite people, print invitations. You don't need to work. You can just live from preaching. And Prabhupada did it, right? Prabhupada sent, like he said, one couple can open a temple. One man can open a temple, he says. Burijan was sent to Hong Kong, and he was all alone in Hong Kong, and then he complained, I'm in Hong Kong, I'm all alone. How can I be here all alone? Prabhupada, please let me go from Hong Kong. Prabhupada said, no, you stay in Hong Kong. You must stay there. So he wanted to go. He even visited Prabhupada in Australia. Prabhupada said, what are you doing here? Go back to Hong Kong. And he's in Hong Kong and complaining that he was alone. And then one time Prabhupada said, okay, I'll send you some association. I'll send you a wife. And he did. And she arrived and they met on the airport and she said, pleased to meet you, I'm your wife. And they're still married. Yeah, they stayed married. That was Dharma. Prabhupada just sent wife. Like, so you don't have to work. You can preach all day, from morning to night, and then depend on what Krishna sends. It's other option. Isn't it true? Any other question?
Sometimes we see that there is so eagerness for service, and sometimes we see the laziness. So how we can remove eagerness?
Yeah, like I said, there is part in us that doesn't want to surrender. That's the lazy part. It's a fight with the mind in everything. Laziness is an affliction of the mode of ignorance, and what the mode of ignorance, one has to fight the mode of ignorance by acting according to a proper standard. See, out of laziness, something is not 100% clean, and we say, clean it tomorrow. No, now, not tomorrow. So one has to, by determination, try and conquer this laziness. For laziness, there is not an easy cure. You see, the lazy man, he's lazy, so he doesn't want to take the cure himself. So he's thinking, isn't there some cure, something easy that I don't have to do anything, and that I'll just get rid of my laziness? No. No, actually, one has to work to overcome laziness. It's the only solution. So by doing something. So therefore we can take responsibility in devotional service, because it forces a lazy man, like sometimes they say, I was involved in charge of samadhi construction in Mayapur, da, 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 he did all this samadhi. Well, to be honest, I didn't want to do it, but they told me to do it. Then I still didn't want to do it, but okay, I did it. And while I was doing it, I was thinking, I don't want to do this. But what to do? I was forced to do it. So taking responsibility helps to overcome our laziness and our independent mind that doesn't want to surrender to Krishna. So that's the thing. You can do devotional service one time, but then at one point, you take responsibility. Said, okay, and then you promise, I will take charge of this thing. And this taking charge of some service, it forces us to do things. And that's where we make a lot of advancement, because in the course of taking responsibility, I was in charge of that samadhi, and then I had to go to Makrana, Rajasthan, and the hottest day in my life, 59 degrees. 59 degrees, bah, garam, koop garam. The devotee from Mayapur was sitting under the truck with a wet gamsha on his head. He said, bahari bah, koop garam. Too much hot. Yes. It was too much. So taking responsibility is a trick that can help to overcome laziness. Therefore we see lazy people always try to avoid responsibility. Oh, my back. Oh, my head. Oh, my blood pressure. Oh. Oh, yes, I want to do it. It's when you're a temple commander or a temple authority, right? The worst thing is the excuses, you know. When people tell you why they cannot do a service, you know. Please don't give an explanation. Just say no. That's okay. No, you can't do it? Okay. No explanation, please. Prabhu, you see, I really want to do it. It's like in the court, you know. I really want to do it. Cry tears. Any other questions? No question. Okay. Finish. Not problem.
Maharaj, at the end of the class, you were speaking about humility.
Mm-hmm.
All living, you said, almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Is the only way to purchase Krishna. That's almost impossible now. How do we overcome that almost impossible task of genuinely becoming humble and not just so-called humble?
Well, the opposite of humility is pride, which means we are in the center, and it means our senses, it means admindriya pritivansha, it means we are concerned with our enjoyment and our agenda. So pride means I want so many things. Humility means what Krishna wants, what the Vaishnavas wants, Krishnendriya Pratyaja. So, therefore, we can just ask the Vaishnavas, the senior Vaishnavas, what they want from us. It's a very scary thing. See, we don't usually do that, you know. We very carefully sort of deal with the senior Vaishnavas. And please accept my most respectful, humble obeisances. Guru Maharaj, also accept this flower, this garland on your Vyasa Puja, and accept my most prostrated obeisances. To ask Guru Maharaj, what would you really want me to do? Oh my God. Oh no. What? He can say anything. I can say anything. It's very dangerous. So generally we avoid it. We generally don't ask. But actually, that's the key. To just ask. So, to ask the Vaishnavas, to have that mood from the ask the Vaishnavas, what would you want me to do? Maybe the Vaishnavas want you to have a certain amount of independence. Right? You know, maybe they'll say, you know, you take this responsibility and then you do. Yeah, that may also be, but we must be willing to be the instrument of the Vaishnavas. That's the only way to become humble. So we have to consciously try to be that. Then we are doing it, then we're still not humble. Not at all. We're struggling with our mind while doing it, but at least we're doing it. So, in acting according to the will of the Vaishnavas, humility develops. That's it. It's like I sometimes say, in the material world, we get a chance to practice this. Like, in the spiritual world, everyone is assisting the superior or superiors. In the material world, we have to learn to practice. So actually the spiritual master is there so that we can practice on the spiritual master. So we can practice serving the spiritual master. That's why it's difficult to be a spiritual master, because, you know, it's like service in practice. You know. It's not just, okay, didn't quite make it yet at times. So it's difficult to be served. Very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You have a response?
Something to think about.
You have no response? No, but.
No.
But your neighbor has.
I'd like to find out about the same point of trusting the Vaishnavas.
Trusting the Vaishnavas.
Because one tends to, maybe because of their own anathas, of trying to protect their desire or plan in devotional service, may feel that some Vaishnavas may also just have their agenda. How do we also value the spiritual master's agenda, management's agenda? Sometimes it's very
difficult
to know which.
Yeah, you have to. The spiritual master's agenda, what he wants from us, that comes first, and that is fixed. I can give a personal example that somehow or other I speak French, you know, and very few of our preachers speak French. So one year the GBC thought I should go to France and preach in France. But I was already like in other countries, like here and, you know, South Africa and others, so, you know, had no time. So but the GBC thought I should go. So I thought maybe Krishna speaks to the GBC. So I went to my spiritual master and I said, well, what do you think? Should I go? Should I take it that Krishna is speaking to the GBC in this case? I said, in this case? He said, I don't think so. In this particular case. So that settled the matter then, you know. Okay. And he said, better don't be a GBC. So, okay, I'm not a GBC. By that order, yeah. And even if they ask me, they ask me all the time, not all, but they ask me sometimes, yeah. And then the answer is no, because Guru's order is first. So between Guru and management, Guru's order is the first order, and then comes management. So you have to know your priorities. As far as trusting the Vaishnavas, obviously, you know, when you surrender to a pure devotee, then you feel fully protected. Yeah. When I was serving in Mayapur, I was not only in charge of the samadhi, I was in charge of all construction in Mayapur. The police station and some other buildings in the housing project and finishing the temple, building the Sringadesh temple and conch building and the courtyard and so many things, you know what I'm saying? Making roads and it's like everything, you know, like. So, and construction in Mayapur starts at 6 in the morning. And if you're not there, then you'll find that, and you come at after the morning program, then you find that they did something wrong. And there's a wall in the wrong side or whatever, you know. So you have to be there to make sure that it's right, that everything is going right. So in the morning you have to do one round of all the construction site, meet all the supervisors and make sure they got it right. Otherwise, you know, something's going wrong. So there goes your japa. Right? Service starts at 6 in the morning. Goodbye, japa. Right? Or get up very early, which can be difficult if you have to work very hard. Right? So, and then, you know, like I had so much service. And then the management came and they said they wanted me to take more service. And then, you know, and then they pushed me and they said, you should surrender.
But I didn't feel protected by that order. I thought, if I take more service, I'm going to crack, you know. It's going to be too much. So sometimes, too much may be asked from us. Can be. But then, if we have a spiritual master, we can take shelter of our spiritual master. We can ask him. Say, look, I'm in this situation, I have a dilemma. So as long as the spiritual master is present, we are very fortunate. Afterwards, when he's not present, we have to take shelter of his instruction. And then weigh the situation. Yeah. That's okay. Doesn't work. So it's not, we have these kind of questions, and in these questions we sometimes want one answer so that we don't have to think in a situation. And that answer you'll never get, because everyone has to apply his own intelligence. So, yeah, you have to judge the situation. Okay, are we finished? No?
You mentioned earlier that Krishna consciousness penetrates and all that we have to do is come to know. But there's a difference between that devotee who takes a kalpa and the other devotee that goes back to God.
Yeah.
Life.
Yeah.
So the difference is eagerness. Sometimes the eagerness can be spurred by just being battered by the material energy, or by wanting to love Krishna. Very different things can spur the eagerness. So what's the eagerness that?
What the last sentence is muffled.
So what is it? What type of eagerness is it that's going to give us the destination of back to God in this life?
Eagerness to serve. Eagerness to serve Krishna nicely. And therefore, again, the responsibility is the trick. See, you just open your big mouth and you say, I will do that. And then you've done it. And then you're locked in. And then you're stuck. And then in the course of having to deal with a responsibility, you get really purified. So that is really... Otherwise, lethargy or laziness will hold us back. You know, the Hare Krishna movement offers you a comfortable life, if you're smart. Yeah? It's not bad. You know. I remember in 1979, I came to Kenya, and they said, it's about breakfast time. Go. Did the life members bring the fruits already? Yes, they did. Okay. Any mangoes? No, only papaya. Only papaya? No mangoes. Any lunch programs today? Yeah. There's a program at the Guptas. Oh, okay. I'm going to that one. Huh? Albert Road. You like that? Yeah, so it can be very comfortable in the Hare Krishna movement. We don't have to work so hard, you know. In a job, right? If you don't do the job, you know, you get fired, right? In the Hare Krishna movies, you say, I wasn't well today, couldn't finish my rounds, you know, so I was just chanting japa. How come you're 2 hours late? Well, I didn't finish my rounds. You know, you can say it in devotional service and get away with it. So in a way, it's a cushy life in the Hare Krishna movement. So, but by taking responsibility, you change that cushiness into, and then we overcome our laziness. Then the eagerness will grow. I'm eager to stop. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.